in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Glory to God. You might be seated. Welcome to the Day 20. Praise God. I say praise God. Welcome to day 20 of our 21 days fasting and prayer. We titled it "A Fast Unto the Reign of Glory." For GICC, Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. Praise God. And today we are praying for the Lord to greatly use GICC to catalyze and trigger a mighty move of His Spirit and revival in our land, in our territory, beginning from the city of Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria, Africa, and globally. Praise God. A kind of move of the Spirit and revival that will usher in a mega harvest of multitude into God's kingdom on a global scale. Praise God. I say praise God. The Lord told us He's using Glory Incense Concert and Crusade as a sickle, a major sickle for reaping the end time harvest of souls into the kingdom. This is why we are partnering with the Lord of the harvest Himself. We are partnering with the Holy Ghost to birth His will, to birth His plans, to birth His purposes through GICC, through AGMI. Glory to God. Isaiah 40 verse 5, he said, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it all together." Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in GICC 2023, and all flesh shall see it all together. You know, in Zechariah 10:1, he said, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make bright clouds." The Lord will make bright clouds, and then He will send forth rain upon every grass in the field, and the field is the world. The grass represents the people. So the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, all flesh shall see it all together. Glory to God. Today I will be concluding. Before we pray, I will conclude what I started teaching on how God leads His children. We started the day before yesterday. That was part one. Yesterday was part two. Today will be the concluding part three. This is a very important teaching. How God leads His children. How God leads us. This is one major area of confusion among believers. I've counseled people. You know, in my years of ministry, I realized this topic, this subject is a very critical one, very crucial one. a lot of Christians don't know how to recognize and receive the leading of the Spirit. Many have resorted to running after prophets from pillar to post in the hope of getting guidance, because they themselves, they don't know how to discern and recognize the leading of the Spirit. This is why we are teaching you. Praise God. It's very, very important. In fact, if I were you, after this series, I will sit down with the message. I will gather part 1 to 3, get it from media, get it from the Telegram channel, listen to it over and over and over and over again. In fact, research shows that to get the best from any message, listen to it at least 10 times. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times. If you want to benefit maximally from a message, listen to it 10 times. Sit down with this message. It will cure a lot of confusion in this area. There's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of ignorance. But thank God this teaching is bringing light and clarity. How God leads His children. And we said from part 1 that there are certain prerequisites, there are certain necessary preparation you must make so that you can position yourself correctly and condition your spirit to receive divine guidance, to receive God's leading. You know, there are things you do to train your spirit to develop sensitivity to God's leading. And we said, as part of the important preparation and prerequisite, you must be full of the Spirit, okay? Be Spirit-filled. To be Spirit-led, you must first be Spirit-filled. And then we say you must be spiritually minded. Then we say you must be full of God's Word. Hallelujah. Then we said, to train your spirit, because listen, your spirit is the very first point of contact that the Holy Spirit communicates with. The Holy Spirit does not communicate directly with your body. Mm-mm. The Holy Spirit does not communicate directly with your soul. Mm-mm. He communicates with your spirit. So, the condition of your spirit determines your reception of His leading. Did you hear what I just said? Very important. This is why you must build your spirit, train it to become a very good receptacle. You must develop spiritual sensitivity. Praise God. The Holy Spirit communicates directly with your spirit first. Then the information, the signals, is transmitted to your soul. Then your body carries out the instruction. Are you getting the flow? Can you see the flow? The Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit is united. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit is in union with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, He communicates directly with your spirit first. Then, whatever information or instruction is downloaded to your spirit by the Holy Spirit, your spirit now transmits it to your soul. Your soul has your will, your emotion, and what? Your mind, your intellect. So, it's when this leading gets to your soul that you now become conscious of it. It may come in form of a thought. It may come in form of an emotion, a desire. It may come in form... Are you getting my point? Then whatever information your spirit passes to your soul, your body is the final bus stop. Your body will now carry it out. It will act it out. Because your body is a slave to your spirit and your soul. Whatever the spirit and soul have decided, the body executes it. That is how the leading of the spirit, that is how it flows. So it's from the inside. So that's why I said, become God inside minded. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He communicates with us from within. It's from inside out, not from outside in. You know, most of the time, many Christians are expecting external, the leading to come from outside. Mm-mm. It's from the inside. It's from inside out. So become sensitive. Become spirit conscious. Become spiritually minded. Become God inside minded. You will easily receive His leading. Hallelujah. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in his body. Man is a spirit being. He has a soul. He lives in his body. Your body is not you. The real you is a spirit being. And that spirit being has a soul. The soul has three parts. The will. That's the faculty of making decision and choices. And God created man with a free will. God has respect even for woman will. The soul has three parts. Number one, the will, where you make decision choices. Number two, emotion. Your feelings, all of that. That's faculty of feelings. Then the third part of the soul is your mind or your intellect. Your intellect, imagination, they are all in your mind. Praise God. That is where you engage in thinking. Your rational thinking, your thoughts, am I communicating? Your imagination, creativity, all of that is in the mind. Now listen, with your spirit, with man's spirit, he makes contact with the spiritual world, what we call the realm of the spirit. It's not your body that interacts with the spiritual world. Neither is it your mind. Neither is it your soul. It is your spirit. Am I communicating? There is a real spiritual world to which this physical world is just a small part. Okay? The physical world is just an echo department of the bigger realm of the spirit. With your spirit, you make contact and even participate in the realm of the spirit. You make contact with the spiritual world. How many of you have ever dreamed? If you have never dreamed since you were born, let me see your hand. Everybody dreams. Even though not everybody remember their dreams, but everybody dreams. Now, let me ask you a question. When you dream, who is that you that is seeing all those events in the dream? That's the real you. That's your spirit. Do you know that your physical body was patterned after your spirit? That person that is seeing all those things, hearing those things in the dream world is the spiritual realm. It's the realm of the spirit. That's your spirit. Now, after you've had the dream, it is your soul that makes you to remember the dream. Those events that happen in the realm of the spirit, that happen in the dream, they are now transmitted by your spirit to your soul. Memory and all of that, you can now remember. You can now even think about it. Am I communicating? If your soul didn't capture them, then you will find it hard to remember the dream. You know you had dreams. You had a dream. You know that it's either a good dream or a bad dream. But because your soul didn't capture the details from your spirit, you find it hard to recall. But once your soul captures it well, you remember. Am I communicating? Your body is lying on the bed when you were sleeping at night. So that's to tell you that you are not your body. Your spirit lives inside your body. Your body is his temple. Praise God. Your body is your earth suit. Your body is like the clothes you are wearing. It's like the house you are living in. So God does not communicate direct with your body. Just like your clothes is not you. Your suit is not you. Your house, the house you live is not you. You are the occupant. That you inside the house is the spirit man. Am I communicating? Proverbs 20:27. It says, The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Abi? The spirit of man, Proverbs 20 verse 27. Is it the spirit of man, which is the real you, is a candle or the light of the Lord, searching all the inward part of the belly. What do you do with light? Light provides what? Guidance. Am I communicating? A translation say lamp. Okay, the other translation that say the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. When you carry candle in the night, what does it give you? Illumination for direction and guidance, ba? So in other words, God will guide you through your spirit. God guides us through our spirit. God directs us through our spirit. The Holy Spirit directs and guides us, not through our body first, not even through our soul first, not through our mind first, through our spirit. So that's why we say become spirit conscious to easily receive His leading. And how do you train your spirit to be a very good receptacle? How do you train your spirit? You know, in driving, okay, watch this. In driving, see the car as your body. Let me explain the leading of the spirit from driving. See the car as your body, the body of man. See the steering wheel, the car steering, as your soul, the soul of man. Then see you driving the car, seated, moving the wheel, as your spirit. Are you getting the illustration? Did you notice that you are the one in control? That is how the spirit man is in charge. Okay, you move that wheel. That the spirit is communicating his intention to what? The soul. Then as you move the wheel, the car follows. The car have no mind of its own. Is anything the driver uses, he moves the wheel in this direction. So it's a similar thing. The Holy Spirit communicates to your spirit. Your spirit is the driver. Then the information is passed on to the soul, just like you move the steering. The soul is the steering. Then the body carries out the instruction finally, which is the car that is moving, following whatever direction the steering is moving. Are you getting the point? So how do you train your spirit? Number one, you pray abundantly in the spirit, praying in tongues, okay? Building up yourself, beloved, on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. Jude 20, 1 Corinthians 14:2, 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. You charge up your spirit. Praise God. The more you pray in tongues, the more your spirit becomes sensitive. You develop your spirit to be a good and sensitive receptacle, to be able to discern and recognize God's leading. Then number two, you train your spirit by constant meditation on God's word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, you must give God's word first place in your life. You must become humble, meek, and teachable. Submit to the authority of the word. Submit to the lordship of God's word. Make God's word final authority in your life. The Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Become humble enough, or else God won't be able to guide you. The Spirit of God finds it difficult to guide stubborn people, proud people that insist on going their own way. You know, the Holy Ghost does not violate your choice. It will allow you, but you will suffer. You will learn through the school of hard knocks. Am I communicating? So be humble. Be meek. The meek will he guide in judgment. I think Psalm 25. The meek will he teach his way. Submit to the authority of the word. Make the word of God final authority in your life. Okay? Allow the word to dwell in you richly. We say through meditation, constant meditation on God's word, you are training your spirit to be able to recognize the voice of the author of the word. Who is the author of the word? The The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you with the same voice and the same tune He normally speaks to you every time you meditate on His word. It's not a different voice. Then number three, how do you train your spirit? Develop a lifestyle of praise and worship, okay? As Acts 13:2, they ministered to the Lord in worship, and the Holy Ghost said, they easily heard God's voice, okay? Psalm 77 verse 6. Praise and worship is very important. It helps to rightly condition your spirit to hear God. It helps to fine-tune your spirit to divine frequency so that you can receive those divine frequency transmission from the Holy Ghost. Psalm 77 verse 6, he said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Can you see the connection? I call to remembrance my song in the night. As he was singing, praising, worshiping God with the song, he said his spirit was sensitized. Spirit, he communed and then made diligent search. Then number four, developing your spirit, we said prompt response in obedience to divine instruction. Pay attention to and obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Make a firm commitment to always follow God's leading and respond promptly. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Incomplete obedience is also disobedience. Prompt response. Be the type that once God is leading you to do something and you have confirmed that He's the one, respond promptly. By so doing, you are training your spirit to be a good receptacle. Am I communicating? Never delay in obeying divine instructions. Make a firm commitment to always follow and obey promptly every single leading you receive from the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Don't be stubborn, you see. Don't be a goat. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. Okay? Sheep. Be a sheep. You know, a sheep does not have a will of its own. A sheep does not follow its own will. It just follows whatever the shepherd tells him. So you must be willing to drop your own will and follow God's will. A goat is, goat represents stubbornness and disobedience. He said, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee in the way thou shouldest go. Don't be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in bit and bridle. Okay? Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We said, it's the right of every believer in Christ to receive the leading of the Spirit. Okay? The spirit-led life is a sonship right. It's part of your right in Christ. Okay? It's not a privilege. Every born-again Christian, even a day-old believer, has the right to be led by the Spirit. You don't need to attain certain level of spiritual stamina or maturity before the Holy Ghost can lead you. No. All children of God have the right to God's leading. Okay? Be led by the Spirit is a sonship right. Don't be led by money. Don't be led by circumstances or situation. You know, some people say, I was a victim of circumstance. In other words, they are trying to say, I did what I did because of the circumstance. Mm-mm. Be led by the Spirit. We are children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, not by circumstances, not by situations, not by money, not by opportunities. Some good opportunities are traps Satan set for you to derail you from the path of destiny. Don't be led by people. Don't be led by society. Don't be led by popular opinion or majority opinion. Majority are not always right. Hear God and follow His leading. Don't even be led by family and friends or your peers. Don't do something because everybody is doing it. Don't go and marry because everybody around you, all your friends and peers are getting married. Don't put yourself under pressure. Be led by the Spirit. Am I communicating? Life no be competition. Life is not competition. Say, all my friends are going ahead of me. All of them have bought cars. All of them have married. All of them. Calm down. Be led by what? The Spirit. Follow God's plan for your life. Follow God's prophetic clock for your destiny. There is no competition in destiny race. The race is unique to you. Run the race that is set before you. Am I communicating? Stop comparing yourself with anybody. You don't have competitors. There is even no there is no yardstick for comparison because your assignment, your purpose is unique to you. Praise God. What's the competition between a footballer and a boxer? What's the competition? The assignment is not the same, right? It's the same thing. You don't have mates. See, you may have classmates, you may have roommates, you may have age mates, but you don't have destiny mates. Because callings and assignment are not the same. He said, let us run the race that is set before us, not the race that is set before somebody else. Glory to God. How does God lead us today? We started looking at this. Number one, through divine signals. These signals are not outside though. They are not outside signs. They are from within, inward signals. And we looked at it. These inward divine signals talks about the inward witness, Romans 8:16. The inward witness, it talks about inward perception, inward prompting, inward premonition, inward knowing. You just know supernaturally. Inward sensation, spiritual sensation, spiritual emotions. Am I communicating? Whether good emotion or bad emotion, that's spiritual emotion, not physical emotions. Oh, don't confuse it with fleshly emotion. Am I communicating? This is very important. Those inward impressions, those intuition, recognition, inward knowing. You. Inexplicable knowing. You can't explain it. Unexplainable. You just know supernaturally. Have you been there? That is, I just knew. Something told me. Or something. Are you getting me? That something is actually the inward witness. It's the Spirit of God that is communicating to you. It's not a voice per se. You just know from within. You can't explain it. Because it is supernatural. It's from the Spirit of God. Beyond your logical reasoning. It's a spiritual awareness. You receive that inward signal transmission from the Holy Ghost, who is in union with your spirit. There is this spiritual sensing system. A prompting. It may come through spirit-inspired thoughts. Spirit-inspired ideas, spirit inspired desires. Am I communicating? Spiritual desires, godly desires, is different from carnal desires. So, spiritual emotions, spiritual sensations, maybe an hunch, a nudging in your spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit. Now itself, I prefer, the Holy Spirit is not a it. Now they use itself because the translators, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is a neuter gender. Is a neuter gender. It's neither male, female. It's neither male or female. It's neuter. It's a neuter gender. Because that word pneuma is used for wind. Is used for Holy Spirit, Spirit of man, demon spirits, wind, air. You know, so that's why the translators use that word itself. Okay? But we all know the Holy Spirit in this context, it shouldn't have been itself. Okay? It should be himself. That's why other translation like New King James brings it out better. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Can you see this? This is the primary way God leads us 95 to even 99% of the time. So you need to master this first one, because this is how God is going to lead you most of the time. Most of the times, people are expecting to see alpha flashes, Jesus appearing to you the way he appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. And that's also why are you persecuting? That's not how God leads us most of the time. Is this first method 95 to 99% of the time, God will lead you through the inward witness. It will come in form of an inward witness, inward perception, a knowing in your spirit. Am I communicating? A spiritual sensation. A premonition, an ounce in your spirit. A nudging, gentle nudging like this. Do this. Go this way. Don't go there. Don't do this. Am I communicating? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that what? We are the children of God. Let me ask you a question. How did you know that you are born again? How do you know you are born again? How do you know you are a child of God? From the day you confess the Lordship of Jesus. How did you know that you are saved? You are born again. And if rapture comes now, you go. You are a child of God. How did you know? It's through the inward witness. It's as simple as that. That's what gives you the assurance of salvation. Let me ask you a question. The day you got born again, did you see an angel appear and say, "My son, you are now a child of God. You are going to heaven"? Did you see a vision and then Jesus appeared and said, "Welcome to the family of God"? So how did you get the assurance of salvation? It's through the inward witness. Am I communicating? A supernatural knowing deep on your inside. A perception. A premonition. You know you are saved. You know you are a child of God. Am I communicating? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is what grants us the assurance of salvation. Perception. They were on a journey. I think we read that Acts 27:10. They were on a journey and Paul stood up and said, inside a ship they were sailing, I perceive. He didn't say, "I had a vision and I saw Jesus." He said, "I perceive." Look at this. He said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, also of our lives." How did Paul know? Somebody said, through divine inward signals. Through that inward witness, you can perceive things. The Holy Spirit bore witness with his spirit that there is danger ahead. Are you getting me? This is different from the voice of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, "Holy Spirit spoke to me." He said, "I perceive." Inward perception. What did he use to perceive? His spirit. The Spirit bears witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness. The Holy Ghost bore witness with his spirit that there is danger ahead. So you can anticipate evil with your spirit. You can anticipate danger ahead and take cover. Proverbs say, "A wise man foresees evil and what? Takes another route." How do you perceive? It's with your spirit. You can perceive if, whether the road is clear, whether it is in traffic, there is green light, red light, there is green light, red light, yellow light. You can perceive the lighting. whether the road is clear or not. There are times you want to do something, but you don't feel good in your spirit about it. That's God trying to lead you through the inward witness. But many of us don't recognize it. You just have this check in your spirit. There's this uneasiness. You have prayed about. The more you pray, the more the uneasiness increases. That's to show you that something is wrong. The Holy Spirit is telling you, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't invest your money here. There is a problem. Don't marry this person. Break that relationship. It's not the will of God. You know, there is this uneasiness in your spirit. Am I communicating? It's like a feeling of washing, like Kenneth Hagin put it, washing your feet with your socks on. have you tried washing your leg? Your socks is on. You have not removed the socks and you are trying to wash your leg. How does it feel? There's a way the thing is scratching you. You know, that is how it is. Whenever you want to make a move that is not in line with the will of God, the thing will scratch your spirit. There's this negative signal you receive from within. That's God leading you. That's the inward witness. That's the inward perception. But many Christians don't recognize, they don't pay attention to it. They just brush it aside and then they enter trouble. Before you know, they had an accident. Before you know, they ended up marrying the wrong person. And now, problem in the marriage every day. Quarreling, fighting, until marriage scatter. But all the while, when they were dating, the Holy Ghost was giving them signal, but they will not listen. Why? Because of shawarma, suya, ice cream. See, the guy has money. He has car. You see? They were led by the senses. They were not listening from within. I tell people, listen, if you pay attention to the leading of the Spirit, you will not miss it in making the right choices. Whether it is choice of life partner, or where to invest your money, or whether to japa or not to japa, whatever decision you want to make, or the kind of job offer to pick, or concerning where to stay, where to live, whether to stay in Jos or fly, move out of Jos, go and look for money in Port Harcourt, Abuja and Lagos. You know, you follow the leading of the Spirit. Don't be led by the senses. Paul said, I perceive by the Spirit. But look at what happened. Verse 11. Instead of them to listen to a spiritual man, a man of God talking. Nevertheless, the centurion is like the naval officer in charge of the voyage. The centurion believed the master and owner of the ship. Maybe that one has PhD in what? Ship navigation. PhD in what? In sailing. He would rather listen to the sailor. Say, ah, this guy has experience. He's even the owner of the ship. That one was speaking from the senses. After all their calculations. See, listen. Never, you see, this word I perceive, your life can depend on it. It can be a matter of life and death. I perceive is far more important than all your university degree. I'm telling you the truth. The leading you are receiving from is more than all those analyses by all those stockbrokers, all those experts of the market that have analyzed for you. No, these guys are operating in the sense realm. They are giving you factual information based on logical reasoning and analysis, based on the senses. They cannot see into the realm of the spirit. I perceive. But unfortunately, they didn't listen to him until they had accident. But thank God, because Paul was there, an angel of the Lord later appeared and said, there will be no loss of lives. Your lives will be preserved. But the ship got scattered and they lost everything, every luggage. Am I communicating? If they had listened to him, they would not have suffered that damage. How many Christians have suffered accident and even died because they didn't pay attention to I perceive, the inward witness? You understand? The coast was not clear, but they were too busy to listen. Never make that kind of mistake. Praise God. May you never be a victim. Number two, we said the sound of the Spirit. sounds of the Spirit, the audio channel, the speakings of God. And under that, we said, through the voice of the human spirit. The Holy Ghost can communicate with you through the voice of your human spirit, what we call the conscience. And we said this is a still small voice, Romans 2:15, Romans 9:1, 1 Kings 19:12. Your conscience, however, to be a sure guide, must be correctly trained by the word of God, constant meditation on God's word. And you exercise your conscience to be void of offense towards God and men. Keep it pure. Maintain a tender conscience, good conscience, clear and pure conscience, always, so that you can easily hear God and receive his leading through your conscience. Then we said, still under the sound of the Spirit, the audio channel God leads us is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, a major difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of your human spirit is that while the voice of your human spirit is a still small voice talking to you, and God can lead you that way, the voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative, but it is not dominating. Because the Holy Ghost still respects your will. It is authoritative and commanding, but it is not domineering. It's not dominating. So you still have a choice to obey or not. You see all those scriptures are there. Psalm 29:3-4, Luke 9:35, Acts 8:29. The Holy Spirit speaks. He's a person. He can speak to you. He spoke to Philip after his mighty crusade in Samaria. He spoke to him, led him until he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, in John 16:13, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. Okay. John 16:13. The voice of the Holy Spirit is always in agreement and in harmony with the written word of God. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the written word, okay? They are always in agreement because he is the author of the written word. He won't say one thing in his word and then somebody will now claim that the Holy Ghost told him the opposite. It's not true. And even when in operating the prophetic, even when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, gives you prophecy, vision and all of that, try to get scriptures to back it up. Very important. Get scriptural basis. Even when God spoke to me, the Holy Spirit gave me the vision of AGMI, I needed to get scriptures to back it up. As you can see, look at the scriptures there. Because he always speaks in line with his word. Anything you claim to hear that has no scriptural proof, just push it aside first. Am I communicating? If it contradicts the word of God, trash it into trash can. That thing is not from the Holy Spirit. Because there are so many players in the realm of the Spirit. There are so many voices. 1 Corinthians 14:10, he said none of them is without signification. Listen, there are many voices. So there is a voice of the devil, demons. Voice of familiar spirits. They talk to people too. There is a voice of your mind, your reasoning. There is a voice of your emotion. That's your feelings. Eh? There is a voice of your body. Voice of your flesh. Oh, there are so many. There are voice of external voices from human beings. Then there is a voice of the Holy Spirit. You must know how to what? Discern. Praise God. Are you getting blessed? Every time God is leading you, and every time, whether it is through the inward witness or inward perception, or through the voice of the Holy Spirit or voice of your human spirit, every leading of God is accompanied by peace, the peace of God. Any leading you claim to have received that is not accompanied by the peace of God in your heart, I'm telling you, it's not God that is leading you. Either you are the one leading yourself or the devil is leading you. If God is leading you, you will have peace about it. Any decision you are about to make and you have prayed, the more you pray, the more you lose your peace. The more you pray, the more you feel uneasy. The waters, the feathers of your spirit man are ruffled. The waters of your spirit man is muddled up. That means there is a problem. You don't have peace about it. Mm-mm. It shows God is not the one leading you. If God is leading you, whether it's through inward witness, inward perception, the voice of your human spirit, or the voice of the Holy Spirit, His voice is accompanied with peace. God's leading is accompanied with peace. You see that in Psalm 85 verse 8. This is one of the litmus tests for God's leading. That peace of God in your heart is a litmus test. Anything I want to do, if I don't have peace in my heart, I don't do that, you know. I keep it first. As long as I don't have peace, I'm not making that move. Don't make any decision that you don't have peace about. Don't be under pressure. Praise God. Praise God. If you lose your peace, think twice. Calm down. Pray again. I will hear what the Lord God will speak. He will speak what? Peace. Anytime God speaks, is what? Peace unto His people and to His saints. Let them not turn again to folly. Isaiah 55, verse 12. Isaiah 55, verse 12. It says, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. When God is leading you, two things, joy and peace, we accompany His leading. Are you seeing this? Without peace, without joy, there is problem. You see, when God is leading you, you will feel good inside your spirit about it. Anytime you think about it, anytime you imagine it, you will feel good. The apostle in Acts 15, they say, it seems good to us and it seems good to the Holy Spirit. If it does not seem good, that's in your spirit, oh, not in your mind, not in your flesh. I'm talking of your spirit, spiritual sensation and emotion. You will feel good about it. You will have peace. And you have joy. Praise God. The third method we started looking at is that God can lead us through the sight of the Spirit. Okay, and we'll round up with this today. Sight. Somebody say sight of the Spirit. Sight of the Spirit. Now this sight, right, can be in form of these sights of the Spirit includes God-given or Spirit-inspired pictures. God-given or Spirit-inspired pictures, images, visions, revelations, trances, dreams, etc. Praise God. Coming from the Holy Spirit. You picture it. Am I communicating? Image. Have you been there that you were praying, the Holy Ghost was flashing pictures to you? Have you been there? Or you were just doing something and then picture would just pop up, or image? These are sights of the Spirit. Glory to God. Or you are just worshiping God and then the Holy Ghost will just bring to your mind, to your imagination, you know, you just bring to your spirit pictures, images, vision, revelation, etc. Am I communicating? Like when Pastor Mafeng was leading prayer and I was praying, and then as I was praying, the Holy Ghost just flashed picture of future GIC, and I saw that it was this stadium. What's the name of that stadium? That was what I saw. It just brought, I was not thinking it, I was not reasoning it, but it just brought it. You know, these are ways God leads us. And then as I was pondering on the picture, then the Holy Ghost said, you people are starting here. He said, time will come that's where we will hold GICC. You understand? You need to understand the sight of the Spirit. Sometimes you are praying, the Holy Ghost may bring picture of somebody that you know. It may be a family member, it may be a member of a church, it may be a friend, somebody you know. It will just bring the person's picture to you. It will say, pray for this person. Sometimes he may tell you the prayer point. Sometimes he may not immediately tell you. Just say, pray for the person. Somebody say, sight of the Spirit. You know. Now, seeing in the Spirit is like a spectrum. Okay? Okay, give me John 15:19. Seeing in the Spirit is a spectrum. I'll just list the spectrum. John 5:19 and 20. Look at Jesus. This was one major way Jesus operated. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Somebody say, sight of the Spirit. For whatsoever things he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus had privilege to the sight of the Spirit, and then he aligns in obedience. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than this, that ye may marvel. Somebody say, sights of the Spirit. Give me John 16 verse 13 that we talked about. John 16:13. This is very important. This is very important. He said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The number one assignment of the Holy Spirit is to guide, is to provide us guidance and direction. The number one assignment is to guide us, direct us along the path of destiny. And guess what? Direction is more important than speed. What is the use? Speeding when you are on the wrong road, leading to the wrong destination. Speed only makes sense when you are on the right path. So ascertain your direction before you fire speed. Praise God. That's why you shouldn't compare your life to anybody. Some people are on the wrong path. They are totally outside God's will, yet they are speeding in the wrong lane. Direction is more important than good intention. You can have good intention, but it's not enough. You must have the right direction. You must be properly guided. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Can you see that? So he's a speaking spirit. And then we've seen that one of the ways he leads us is through those sounds of the Spirit. He speaks to us. Then he will show you things to come. This is talking of the sight of the Spirit. Next verse. He will show you things to come. 14. He said, he shall glorify me how? He shall receive of mine. And what? Show it to you. Now, what are the spectrum of seeing in the Spirit? Seeing in the Spirit includes the following. Number one, sanctify the imagination. Ephesians 1:18. I told you, seeing in the Spirit is a spectrum. Sanctified imagination. Your imagination can be sanctified by the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost is using it to project all those pictures to you, images. Am I communicating? The Holy Ghost flashing those things, you see them with your imagination. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. You see, that word understanding, dianoia, in the Greek, one of the meaning, it means faculty of imagination. So the eyes of your imagination, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, be enlightened, flooded with light, that ye may know. That word know, ido, aware, it means to perceive, to see. Am I communicating? You begin to see images, pictures of God's will, God's plan, God's purposes. Next, the next spectrum is seen by faith. You can see by faith. Genesis 13:14. Seen by faith. You can see with the eyes of your spirit. You can see with the eyes of your spirit. You can see by faith. That was how Abraham saw the whole world. The Lord said unto Abraham, after Lord was separated, lift up your eyes Look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest I have given to you and your seed. How did Abraham see it? By faith. We later read in Galatians and even the book of Romans that Abraham saw the whole world and God gave it to him. How? By faith. So you can see with your spirit. You can see by faith. Then also, 2 Corinthians 4:18, he said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So how do you see the unseen? It's with the eyes of faith. So this is seen by faith. Next, inward vision, inward spiritual vision, okay? Inward spiritual vision. I told you it's a spectrum, but seeing in the spirit is a spectrum. The first is sanctified imagination. Next, seen by faith. Inward spiritual vision. It happened several scriptures, but let me just pick one. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Look at Paul the apostle. After he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, remember he went blind, right? From that encounter. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. The Lord said to him, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. So God spoke to Ananias through an inward spiritual vision. He saw a vision. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen, Saul was praying, Saul later called Paul, he had seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in. Remember, he's blind. So this is a spiritual vision. He was seen with this vision with the eyes of his spirit. He said he had seen Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. This is sights of the spirit being communicated here. How? Through spiritual vision. Okay? Then the next one is open vision. Open vision. Open vision. Now, watch this. Let me tell you the difference between open vision and spiritual vision. In open vision, you are seeing the vision with this your physical eyes, but you are seeing into the realm of the spirit. You are awake with this your koro eyes, physical eyes. You are seeing into the realm of the spirit. That's an open vision. This was the encounter. Put Acts chapter 9 verse 1 to 6. This was the encounter that Paul had on the road to Damascus. This was how he saw Jesus. He had an open vision. It was after the encounter he went blind. Are you getting me? Then he had a spiritual vision. In spiritual vision, you are not seeing the vision with this physical eye. You are seeing it with the eyes of your spirit inside. But in open vision, you are seeing with this natural eye. But it's not physical things. You are seeing into the realm of the spirit. Is it clear? So you put that for reference. Also put Acts chapter 7, 55 to 56. You see how Stephen saw an open vision. He saw Jesus and all of that. Then Cornelius in Acts 10 verse 3. He had an open vision. He saw an angel. Then next is trance. Trance is a form of vision. Trance simply means you are seeing a vision in a dreamlike state. You are half asleep, half awake. Who have been there before? Trance most of the time happen when you just before you wake up from sleep. You know, before you wake up, you will first be awake, but not fully awake. You know what is happening. You can hear people talking, but you are still lying on the bed. You are not totally asleep, You are not totally awake. You are like half asleep, half awake, and then you saw the vision. That is a trance. Praise God. Put down Acts 10:9-16. You will see where Peter had a trance. Okay, he saw that sheet with all manner of four-footed beasts that is forbidden by the law of Moses. Then the Lord said, "Arise, kill and eat." And he was arguing with the Holy Spirit. You know, then also Acts 22:17-18. So that's a trance. These are all sights of the Spirit. Then dreams. The last one is dreams. The Holy Ghost can speak to you through dreams. Now listen, oh, dreams can come from three sources. Number one, dreams can come from God. Number two, dreams can come from Satan, the devil. Number three, dreams can come from your own self, your own mind, what the Bible calls multitude of business. If you fantasize about something for long, you think and dwell about it, desire it so much, it may show up in your dream from your mind. But I'm interested in the dreams that come from God, okay? Acts 16 verse 9, the Bible calls it vision of the night. Vision of the night. Acts 16 verse 9 and 10. My time is up. Acts 16, 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." You see, that was a dream of the night, what the Bible calls a vision of the night. Then verse 10, it says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us to preach to them." They received guidance through dream there. Job 22:14. God is giving you a seeing eye, a hearing ear, a perceiving heart in the name of Jesus. Now understand that God can combine one or more ways to lead us. God can use us, lead us through one method or a combination of more than one method. He's not limited to only one method, okay? Job 33:14. Watch this. "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceived it not." Can you see this? Did you see this? In other words, the number one primary way God leads us is through that inward perception that I talked about. Is it God spoke? Man did not perceive it. He spoke one, he spoke twice. Man did not perceive it. So what will God do? Watch what God will do. Next. Verse 15. "Since man is not getting it through the inward perception in a dream." This one is secondary method. Can you see this? Some of you are too noisy. You are just too noisy. So Holy Ghost will allow you. When you sleep, he will not come. Listen. If the only way God leads you is through dream, you are a stubborn person. I didn't say so. Look at it there. It's true now. God has been trying to get it across to you during the day. You were not perceiving. You were not sensitive. So he will wait. When all you don't calm down, he will now come in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep followed upon men. And then he will now communicate the message. Praise God. Now take note of this. All of God's leading are supernatural. They are divine. But not all of the method are spectacular. Spectacular methods are not the primary way God leads us. They are secondary ways. Just like this dream. What are the spectacular methods? Let me even list them. Spectacular method include, number one, the audible voice of God. Sometimes, listen, the Holy Spirit's voice can be so loud that you will hear it with this your natural ear. Have you been there? You just heard a voice as if somebody was seated behind and spoke to you. When you turn, you didn't see anybody. That's audible voice. It's under spectacular method. Visions, trances, dreams, they are under spectacular method.
angels, angelic guidance, that's angels appearing to you, speaking to you, angels, seeing angels in your vision, revelation, they are under spectacular method, okay? Also, prophecy. Maybe God gave you a prophecy, Holy Ghost gave you a prophecy directly or through a prophet or through your man of God or through the fivefold ministry gift or a fellow believer. They are under spectacular method. But you need to take note of this information that I'm about to say. Spectacular methods are not superior to the method that are non-spectacular. These spectacular methods, they are not better than the inward witness. Oh, neither are they superior to the inward witness and the word of God. God used spectacular guidance more in the Old Testament for the Old Testament saints because they were not born again. They were spiritually dead. They needed to see the pillar of cloud by day leading the pillar of fire. Is it? They needed something that will appeal to their senses because they were spiritually dead. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. But we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are born again. Our spirit have come alive. So we don't need to see any cloud. Are you getting my point? We have the indwelling presence of the Spirit. You see, God needed to use those spectacular methods more in the Old Testament because it appeals to their senses to lead them. In the New Testament, spectacular guidance are not the primary ways God leads us. They are the secondary ways. Okay? However, let me just say this. There is what we call prophetic privilege based on special election of grace and the office, depending on your calling and the office you occupy. You may have more of these spectacular leadings compared to other believers. Okay? For instance, if you have a prophetic grace or you are called to the office of a prophet or an apostle, you know, you may tend to have more of this spectacular guidance compared to other average Christians. But it does not mean you are more spiritual than them. Spectacular guidance is not a sign of spirituality. Neither should you be wearing it as a badge of spirituality. Okay? Are you getting my point? Please get this message and re-listen to it again and again and again. Okay? Spectacular guidance are subject to confirmation by the written word of God and by the inward witness. So even when you receive spectacular guidance, either through prophecy or angels or audible voice of God or visions, trances, dreams, etc., you still need to subject it to confirmation by the written word of God. It must be in line with God's word, and then your spirit must bear witness with it. So that's how you judge spectacular guidance. You judge them by the written word and by what? The inward witness. In Acts chapter 16, 9 to 10, you will see how Prophet Agabus, the leader of the band of prophets that visited Paul, and then they prophesied. Agabus carried the girdle of Paul and tied his hand, and prophetic dramatization. He says, "So shall the hand of this person be bound when he goes to Jerusalem." And the brethren were begging Paul not to go because danger is ahead. But they forgot that by the inward witness, the Holy Ghost have already told Paul. You know, in Acts 20:22, that Paul said, "I go bound to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. But the Holy Ghost witnesses that bonds and affliction are waiting for me." So the inward witness have already informed Paul that there is danger. So what Prophet Agabus is saying is only a confirmation. Am I communicating? When prophecies come to you, okay, judge it this way. Number one, it must be confirmed by the inward witness. Does your spirit bear witness with it that it is true?
Number two, that prophecy is in line with the written word of God. Number three, has God spoken to you, whether through the inward witness or any other method, have God told you anything like that before? That's how you judge prophecies. Am I communicating? So when a prophet prophesied to you, it must be a confirmation of something God have told you before, or a leading you have received before, or your spirit must bear witness with it that it is true, or it must be in line with the written word of God. Okay? If it fails any of these tests, trash it into trash can. Am I communicating? That's very important. Receiving spectacular guidance, like I said, is not a sign of spiritual maturity. Neither is it a sign of spirituality. It does not mean you are more spiritual than others who did not receive the spectacular guidance. Okay? It's just an act of God's grace. It's an act of God's grace and mercy. And you don't make a doctrine out of spectacular guidance. You don't make a doctrine out of it. Now, God called Paul through that open vision. Eh? Is that not how Paul received his calling? He encountered Jesus. But okay, let's look at other believers. What of Barnabas? Is that how Barnabas received his calling? What of Timothy? Are you getting me? So you don't make a doctrine out of it, okay? The word of God and the inward witness is as supernatural as any other spectacular guidance. They are not necessarily superior. And don't go about seeking for spectacular guidance. Say by force, I must see vision. I must see something. Demons will soon show you something. I'm telling you, familiar spirit, they will soon show you something. Okay? Is the Holy Ghost gives you, you just be loving God, just be prayerful, full of the word. As the Spirit of God wills, He can bring those things to you. But you don't force yourself. Is that not how some people have run mad? Then they will now say it is fasting that made them run mad. Mm-mm. It's foolishness, okay? Praise God. I say praise God. Rise to your feet, I'm done. Have you learned something? So don't make a doctrine out of spectacular guidance. Then learn to judge them based on the word of God and the inward witness in your spirit. Say with me, I receive grace to be led by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Shabalaga bragadege bregadege bosh.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Zazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.